the second pillar. So the first pillar is sex is important, but we need to have a biblical view to it for it to work the way God intended it. Number two, marriage is a sacred relationship. Sacred relationship. This is very, very key. The primary condition for happiness in marriage is the correct appreciation of the value of the institution. How do you value your marriage? Do you value the marriage institution? Why? The value of the institution of marriage is connected to the parties to the marriage. So when we're saying that marriage is sacred, we are saying the two parties in the marriage are sacred. The husband is sacred. The wife is sacred. When something is sacred, there's something special about it. It is identified and it is apportioned a place in community. And there is a value that we place to a sacred place. It's like the Monument Park, for instance. If you say that's a sacred place, everybody pays attention. Everybody respects that place and they don't just walk around the place. The same thing we're saying, when you see your marriage as a sacred relationship, you then say your spouse holds a position deserving of respect. Respect is one key issue in our marriages. So you see your partner as one placed in a sacred position by the Lord. Remember, marriage was founded by God. And therefore, when you look at your relationship, you look at your spouse, you're not just saying, oh, my wife. You're saying, my wife was positioned in a sacred place by God. That changes the way you treat your wife. When you're saying, this man was placed in my life by God, and therefore their position is sacred, it changes the way you relate to one another. So your respect for your spouse goes beyond them as a person. You then respect the one who positioned them. You then respect God. So this is what I normally say. I love my wife. But it's not the only reason why I will not do certain things. One of the main reasons why I will not cheat on my wife is because, yes, I love her, but I fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So when I go on business trips, she is not there. I can do whatever I want. I can just pretend that all is fine. But when the fear of God grips my heart, there are things that I cannot do because God is forever present in my life. So when your spouse, so the best thing that you can do is to ensure that your spouse is so connected to God, because that is your insurance. You can snoop on his phone, you can snoop on his emails, but that will not stop them from cheating you unless they fear God. When they fear God, then their love for you will start making sense. They can love you, but if they don't fear God, their love for you will not make sense in that moment of temptation. This is very, very important. Now, the next thing, mutual respect guards the marriage against emotionalism. Mutual respect will guard your marriage against the roller coaster of emotions. When you feel like loving, you laugh. When you feel like laughing, you laugh. When you feel like being at home, you're at home. When you don't feel like it, you're not home. That is what happens when your marriage is just being driven by passion. But when you have respect for one another, when you take our respect in our when you take out respect in your marriage, love stops to exist. And what remains is passion. When you're not in passion, you don't do certain things. But when respect is there, it anchors your marriage. When you respect your spouse, there are some words that you will not say because you respect their position that God gave them as your husband. It's not always that we feel loving. I'm not always fulfilling love for my wife, to be honest with you. Well, she's not here. it's not always that I feel these fuzzy feelings towards her. But the reason why I don't lash out at her is because I respect her. I respect her position that God gave her to be my wife. So because of that respect, because I respect her, I'm able to regain my fuzzy emotions towards her over time. I'm able to come back to my senses and say, "Ooh, how much I love you." But what saved the moment was not my feelings. It was the principle of respecting her as my wife whom God ordained in the marriage. So this is very, very important that we move away from just operating in passion and operating in respect. Then respect will anchor your marriage. Everything else revolves around that respect. So your marriage will experience ups and downs in the moment of turbulence. It is only respect that will steady the ship. Down in the valley, passion will not cut it. Down in the valley, when things are rough at home, passion will not cut it, but respect will see you through the valley. Respect will stop you from uttering certain words that you will always regret for life. Whatever is said cannot be unsaid. Whatever you have said, it's out of the mouth. But when you respect your wife, you will not call her certain names. When you respect your husband, you will not call him certain names. So, respect in marriage should be driven by an appreciation of the position in which the Lord has placed your spouse. That is when you see your marriage as a sacred relationship. It is sacred. There is a table there, and this table is asking you a question. Is your love for your spouse based upon A, your passing moods and feelings, or B, upon the position in which the Lord has placed each of you? Just think about that. Is your love for your spouse based upon A, your passing moods and feelings, or B, upon the position in which the Lord has placed each of you? So be careful in the way you answer this question. If your answer was A, what are you going to do about your situation? So do not simply pass over this question. It is vital for your marriage. Respect or passion? What's driving your marriage? Respect or passion? Let's move on. Point number three. The contrast of marriage based on respect is marriage based on romance. I've already alluded to this. Your marriage is either being built on your partner's sacred position as your spouse or on romantic feelings. Romantic feelings. You're always walking on air every single day. If I walk on air, my marriage is great. If you pamper me, my marriage is great. But if I don't feel like that, maybe it's time to call it quits. I don't feel the love. So our culture has fed us the notion that for your marriage to work, you need to have fires of romantic love to be aflame all the time. How is it going at home? It's rough. There's no romance at home. Now, in the eyes of God, romantic love is the outcome of a successful marriage. It is the byproduct as opposed to the means to a successful marriage. Let's think about that for a moment. Romantic love is the outcome of a successful marriage. It is not a means. So your romantic, your emotions, your feelings, your lovey-dovey emotions is not the means to a successful marriage. The opposite is true. A successful marriage will lead to romantic moments. And a successful marriage is anchored on the sacredness of the relationship, where you respect your children's mom. you respect your husband's, your children's father. When that pillar is there, you can then walk into the dimension of Romans, in the dimension of holding hands in the mall. People think that holding hands in the mall is the way to a successful marriage. When you see people holding hands in the mall, it's an epitome or it's a picture of what has been happening the whole week. Hello, somebody. This is very key for us to understand. We put the cart in front of the horse sometimes. So if we understand that I've got to work on my marriage, I've got to respect him, even though she hasn't prepared the meals the way I wanted them, I'm going to respect her. I'm not going to shout at her because I respect her. Very, very key. So, romantic love is the outcome of a successful marriage, not a byproduct. So the Lord, now this is very interesting. The Lord commands you to love the one you are married to, not to love the one you will get married to. Okay, very, very interesting. The command we have in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 22, it says, husbands, as Christ loved the church, so love your wives. So the command we get in the Bible is to choose to love the one we are married to. So you transition from falling over in love to deciding to love. It is a clear, conscious decision that you make that even when this person has gone off the rails, I will still love them. I choose to love her. Even when she behaves in a way that I do not expect, I choose to love her. Christ loved the church even when the church denied him. John chapter 1 verse 10, he went to his own, but his own denied him. The very earth and the creation that he did denied Christ. Verse 12, but whoever believed in Christ, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. So when we choose to love, it qualifies your wife to remain your wife, no matter what they do. Hello? Very unpopular in our world today. If she doesn't cut it, cut the relationship. Now, counseling, marriage counseling 101. Jabulani and Jackie have been married for 3 years and they have 2 children. They want to get a divorce because they do not love one another anymore. Jabulani complains that there is no passion in their marriage. Jackie is like an ice cube. She never wants to have sex. On the odd days, when she does, it is not out of love, but rather as if she were doing me a favor. Besides all this, she never submits to my instructions. At times, she's even rebellious. They're telling you now, you're the marriage counselor. And Jackie says, no. Let me tell you my story. You never talk to me or say you love me. After we have sex, you simply turn over and go to sleep. Why should I listen to you and submit to you when you treat me like a doormat? Does it sound like a movie? Or it sounds like something common that happens around? Now, if somebody would ask you, Mr. Marriage Counselor, what would be your counsel to Jabulani? What would be your counsel to Jackie? It's something that I would wanted us to discuss as pairs, but because of our time, we'll just throw it in the group. We have a situation. Jabulani is complaining. There's no steaminess in the bedroom. She doesn't listen. She's rebellious. And when she does the steamy stuff, it doesn't work. It's like out of duty. She doesn't respect me. She's not submitted to me. And Jackie said, no. You abuse me. You never talk to me. You don't say I love you. After we have sex, you simply turn around and you face the wall as if it was just, you know. What would be your counsel? And now they want to divorce. They want to go cut that certificate. What's your advice after what we have discussed so far? Right. True. So it's really the principles that we need to. So when you look at all of these situations, I think it applies to all of us, but we'll face these situations with colleagues at work to be able to give them a sound input that is based on a biblical perspective. In the absence of us leaning to what the scriptures say, we would destroy each other, we'll destroy our marriages. So here I will say to them, before you pull the plug, before you divorce, let's go back to the fundamentals. Let's go back to the basics. And then we'll see how it goes.